We're going to go ahead and get started. I'll start by introducing myself and the topic. My name is Hazel Nall, and I have been teaching Sunday school classrooms for many years. My recent stint is at Calvary Chapel South Bay. I've been attending 10 years in the children's ministry. I teach second and third grade. Professionally, I'm a social worker, so I work with children and families throughout LA County. That's a little bit about me. Today's topic, it's called Using Everyday Objects for Lifelong Lessons in Biblical Truth. So on the agenda, and I'm sorry it's not projecting. I couldn't figure out how to project. So we're just going to go on your handouts, and I'll reference your handouts throughout our training. So the first thing that's on our agenda is I'm going to try and sell to you why we should use object lessons. I'll talk a little bit about what they are. I have one example of an object lesson, and I also have some other items that I would like your help with so that we could together develop object lessons. And so I have some examples of that. And on the last slide, which you won't see projected, but you'll see a list of resources of for object lessons that I found online that might be helpful in the work that you do. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. Why would we use object lessons? We all have a different learning style, and if you're able to attend the next session, I'll dive a little bit with a little bit more depth into what a learning style is. But basically, we all learn differently. For example, this setup is what we call auditory learners. Somebody's talking and somebody's receiving the information. Now there's people who this works for. That's the way that you learn. So you excel in classrooms, okay? I'm not an auditory learner. Neither, I saw some people admit that they're not auditory learners, right? There is no right or wrong way to learn, but many of us were not successful in a typical classroom because there's a lot of speaking involved and a lot of listening. Some of us are what we call visual learners, which means that we have to see it in order for us to integrate the information. Okay, that means that usually if you are a visual learner, you learned how to read relatively well. And most of you are learning how to do it on your own. You do well with things like graphics, like with illustrations and so forth. And that's the type of learner that you are. Now we have a different type of learner, which is called the kinesthetic learner. And the kinesthetic learner has to move around to figure things out. Okay, you can't tell him 2 plus 2 is 4. They have to count 4 things and then they'll figure it out that way, okay? You can't give them instructions because they have to actually figure it out by themselves. So instructions are secondary, okay? So when we use object lessons, we can actually appeal to most learning styles, okay? That's something that's very attractive when you actually bring in an object to present the lesson with, okay? The objects attract and hold the attention of the observers. Objects can help to simplify complex ideas and concepts. Retention is very good due to the high interest as well as the identification of the truth with the object. Okay? Other reasons why we use object lessons is because it turns people's eyes into ears. Okay? It's another way to integrate information. Some people, many of us, think in terms of words and images. Objects help them to recall what is taught. Okay? Object lessons are fairly easy to use in a class, and elaborate equipment is not necessary. So you're thinking object lessons, you don't have to go out every week and buy something very sophisticated or elaborate. The beauty of an object lesson is that it should be simple. It should be an everyday object. So that when the child sees that at home, sees it in their neighborhood, it recalls a biblical truth that you presented to them. The student is given a firsthand experience by coming into contact with the object. It's no longer a theory, it's no longer a philosophy, it's no longer a history lesson. It's something real, here, current, that they can feel, touch. Okay? Because of the nature of object lessons, the teacher will develop the habit of graphic, colorful portrayal of truth, which makes all teaching more powerful. Okay? On your next slide, I have some pictures of some objects that have a deeper representation. So you guys will help me out. The first picture is that of a dove, a white dove. Can somebody tell me what that represents for them? The Holy Spirit. Anything else? Peace. Peace. Absolutely. And then right below that dove, we have a skull. What does that represent? Poison, danger. Anything else? Death. Pirates. Right? Right smack in the middle, we have a rainbow. What do you think of when you see a rainbow? God's covenant, his promises, right? All right. And then we have, right next to that, we have five colorful rings. What does that represent?
Olympics.
The Olympics. And right below that, there's a light bulb. A bright idea, okay? So all of these are objects, day-to-day objects that could be seen literally, but there's a hidden meaning behind that. So now when you see that light bulb, you think, bright idea, right? So that's similar to object lessons. Incorporate the senses. So in Matthew 5:1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them." You know, if we consider the way that Jesus taught, it wasn't anything like what we're doing today. There was not four walls, there was not a microphone, there was not a speaker just speaking and everyone else sitting to absorb. If we look at this particular verse, they were in the mountains, right? And so if I ponder, What was the experience like? What was under their feet? Could they feel grass or maybe it was sandy? What were they feeling on their skin? Maybe it was the breeze that was coming over the ocean waters or the ponds. Maybe it's a hot day. Maybe there was humidity. It was sweaty. Maybe it was just a nice feeling of the sun warmth, or was it cold? What were they smelling? They were crowds and multitudes. Were they smelling each other? Right? Were they smelling the cattle in the distant? Or the breeze over the ponds? Right? What were they smelling? How many of you guys have a smell that reminds you of something? Can I ask you what that smell is? A particular cologne? And what does it remind you of? Of what?
Living in Florida.
Okay, so you associate it with a different time in your life, right? So it was all of the senses were involved. It wasn't just speaking, right? And so when we use object lessons, we incorporate more senses. We give a different impression that's going to increase the likelihood that the kids will remember the lesson, the truth that we're trying to teach them. Okay, we also see that Jesus used objects around him to teach about God and his kingdom, and he did this so that it would be real to the people that he was talking to. For example, when he was by a well, he used the example of water. After he fed 5,000 people, he taught them about the bread of life. When he was on a fishing boat, he said that the kingdom was like a fishing net. He told his listeners to consider the lilies, the sparrows, and the hairs on their head. Jesus referred to a fig tree, a mustard tree, to yeast, salt, a vineyard, money, and other things from everyday life to reveal spiritual truth. Okay, so now let's go ahead and delve into some examples of some object lessons. And what you're going to see is my collection of just random things that are in my house. I did go shopping for them, but not for the purpose of object lessons, but they were in my house. So let me bring you some of my goodies. Does everyone have a handout, by the way? Perfect. So I have a confession to make. And my confession I'm going to make on a microphone and maybe record it, so please show me a lot of grace. And my confession is that I have many gifts, but not necessarily all in the culinary area. Having said that, but I do want to say, so I'm not a cook, okay? I don't practice it frequently. And so I do want to say, though, that I haven't killed anybody. That when I have cooked, I actually get some praises here and there. So it's not that I'm a bad cook. It's just that I'm not at a place in my life where I have to cook. And I have a theory. My theory is that cooking is a social experience, okay? Because when you're cooking for other people or somebody else is going to enjoy it with you, it reinforces the behavior. If somebody likes what you cook, you want to do it more. When you're pleasing somebody, you want to gift them with that, right? I'm at a point in my life where it's just me, right? So I don't gotta impress myself. I'm already impressed by myself. Just kidding. So those are my excuses for not having grown in that area, okay? So having said that, I do not know why people invite me to Pampered Chef parties. Do you guys know what Pampered Chef is? If there's somebody here who doesn't know what Pampered Chef is, Pampered Chef is kind of like Avon. It's like catalogs. People host parties to promote this product. People come, they give you something that they made in the microwave, and you're awed and amazed, and then you order a whole lot of things to do all the cooking that you're going to do in your home, right? Because it's going to make your life easier, and it's going to make it more delicious, right? Why do people invite me to Pampered Chef parties? They probably think, oh, she's going to spend money. Guess what? I do. Yeah. So I have my collection of some of my Pampered Chef party. Some of these I've actually had for more than 10 years and have never used them. Actually, most of these things I've never used. And having said that, I forget what they're for, okay? So I'm going to bring some of my items, and you guys are going to help me to figure out what they're for, okay? I used this recently because I pulled it out for another workshop, but not in the kitchen. So I have this, and I'm sure I was very ambitious when I purchased this. I don't know how things plug into each other. I've obviously never really torn them apart enough to have used them. But I was trying to figure it out. So can somebody help out a sister here and tell me what they think this is for? Do you have one? Fancy deviled eggs. Do you have one? Do you have one of these? Oh, okay. I can make fancy deviled eggs because I make deviled eggs all the time, right? So I guess, and I'm going to assume that these are the tops and it's going to make it look different levels of fancy, right? Just depending on my ambition towards fanciness for the day, right? All right, so this is one of my my purchases through Pampered Chef, never been used, probably more than 10 years, or within the span of 10 years. You encourage me? Do you have one? It would make it really cool, yeah. And that's probably why I bought it, yeah. One day, guys. One day. All right, let's go on to the other stuff that's in my bag. All right. You guys are impressed. I'm impressing. So, help me out.
Do you like salads?
I do.
You take your cucumbers and all your veggies and just
chop them up. Because this is too much. You just gotta do this now, right? Yeah, and I think that was my frame of thought. This is gonna make my life easier. I've never used it. All right, yes. Nuts. For my salad, yeah.
Or cookies,
yeah. All right, well, thanks for helping out a sister. We got a chopper, salsas, right? Salsa, salads, nuts, onions. No one likes to chop onions. Yeah. All right, let's see what else I have. So I moved into the place I'm at about 3.5 years ago, and somebody gave me this. Why? Do you guys know what this is? I probably shouldn't put it because I don't even do that. So, yes, it's an omelet pan. Apparently, you don't have to cook eggs. You just got to put it in here, and then all of a sudden, it becomes an omelet. There you go. It's in my that is, but then I have to wash it. You're right. All right. The next object that I have, how many of you guys? Okay, let's do this one first. What do you think this is?
Oh, I know what it is. You stick it in the ground in your yard, and then you
put stuff
around it so that it doesn't
like crash through. So it's not even for the kitchen? No. Okay, I'll go with that. I think it was in the good section. So the last workshop, some of them said it was for smashing stuff, but it has ridges up here, so I'm thinking it should be used like this. A what? Citrus. Oh. So all right, let's go with citrus. A citrus lawnmower. Egg smasher, right? I buy some sophisticated stuff, guys. I ain't no cheapo. I'm looking out. All right. You guys are impressed by my toys, right? Right? Oh, I probably should. I'm going to injure something. So it's a sort of a knife. I do not know why my knife needs these type of ridges. And I don't know why this is going to make my life more easier than this. But apparently whoever demonstrated this convinced me enough that I needed to have it. And it's never been. Or I can just go to McDonald's and buy some French fries. You're right. It is healthier. And one day I'll be there. One day I'll be there. And I'm ready because I got my tools. All right. Help me out, guys. Help me out. Did you know what this was for? Okay, thank you. You're on team. Pasta. And then for a long time, I honestly didn't know what these holes were for. I thought they were decorative. But I have since learned that this is pasta measure. So you put spaghetti in here, and there's actual numbers, half, one, and two. So I'm assuming that that's maybe servings? Yeah, because other than that, I would have been like this. Right? All right. Thanks. All right, last object. How many of you guys like going to the county fair? Fun stuff. No. Some people are like, no. I can eat my own gigantic turkey thing. Okay, I don't need to be walking through those vending places. I don't, because I'm like, what? So I found this. Help me out, guys. This is how they sold it to me, health, because I'm so healthy. Apparently, you put like vegetables through this, and you can make like, you can fool yourself to believe you're eating spaghetti, but it's actually things like zucchini, right? Because we're so foolish, right? So I got these maybe 4 years ago. Still in their bag. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's some of my collection. They didn't all fit in this bag, but that's some of my collection from my invitations or exposure to various cooking tools, okay? They're not cheap. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but there I am. Someday, guys, some days. I'm hooked up when it comes. So let me ask you guys, You guys saw my collection, and one day it's going to happen. There's going to be something that, you know, something is going to happen in my life, or one day I'm just going to be inspired and it's going to happen. So how would you guys suggest that I go about learning how to grow in the area of cooking? Let's make a list, okay? Read about it. Okay, so read what? A cookbook. Read it. Somebody said cookbook. Read about it, cooking. You said TV shows? Anybody else? Say that again? Just do it. Like, stop thinking about it. Stop buying stuff. Just get in there, get some food, and start, go at it, right? Just do it. And you were going to say? Because if the pictures are good enough, it's going to happen in my home. Looking. So the enticement, like I need to make, if it's attractive to me, then it's. I mean, there's more likelihood, right? Okay. What were you going to say? I'm going to go to you next. Say that again. Yeah. Dinner party. Tell me a little bit about dinner party. How is that going to help? Friends over. Okay. Okay. So I have to pressure myself. I have to set the standard high. That's going to hold me accountable, not too high. Maybe just make it a potluck and everybody just brings food to me. No? Okay. But I get it. A party so that we all contribute to the experience of cooking. What were you going to say? Teach me. Like who? Okay, so I have people in my life who maybe enjoy that, who are willing to share that with me, like my mother, you know, like, yeah, she would love that. She'd be like, what? Oh, the day has come. She would love that, actually. So find somebody in my life who's going to help me grow in that area, who has something to pour into me, right? All right, yes. Okay. So we're rotating. Okay, rotating. Three other girlfriends to rotate. Can I tell you guys that once upon a time, I had a friend, God bless her heart, who wanted to have a tamale class. How many of you guys have made tamales? That's no joke. That is no joke, okay? I didn't grow up in a house where we made tamales. But, you know, obviously I'm Latina, like I have to know how to make tamales. I'm sure that was my friend's mind frame. So we went over and I was actually excited until I understood what goes into it. So nowadays you can go to an actual, I don't know, place where you buy the actual masa, which is a dough. Okay. My friend said, yeah, you can go anywhere, but it's going to taste bland. You have to own that dough. You have to add ingredients to give it the flavoring that's going to make unique to you. So she's like, this is how I do it. So you go and buy that dough. They use things like their own chicken bouillon. And you know what makes it so delicious? Is lard, because they put a whole lot of lard in there. And then you're at it for a long time, just in there, bathing yourself, like you're just mixing it up for a long, long time. That's not the end of the tamale show, guys. Because there has to be filling. And thank goodness that she had already made those fillings, because that's just a whole nother production there, right? And usually they don't just make one type of tamale. It's chicken, pork. Sometimes they put cheese with jalapenos in there. My favorite, by the way. Just putting it out there in the universe. And then that's not it. You've made the dough. You've bathed in all that lard. You've made the fillings. And then you have to prepare the husks. And then you have to start the actual wrapping process, and so it's smothering. And so, honestly, the tamales were delicious, but my biggest lesson is that it's easier to buy them for $1. Because they're delicious, and you don't have to go through, you have no idea how much lard is in it, because obviously somebody else made it, right? So that was the biggest lesson that I took out of that, okay? So let me just review our list that we developed so that I can grow in cooking. I could read about cooking, read a cookbook, watch TV shows. Now there's a whole Food Network, right, where they actually help people in that area. Somebody said, just do it. Like, stop thinking about it. Stop shopping for stuff. Get yourself in there and just do it. Somebody said, get magazines, make it attractive to yourself, be inspired to do it. Somebody said, dinner party, invite friends, set an expectation, and put yourself in an experience where you're just gonna do it. Somebody else said, find somebody to teach me, whether that be somebody who's more seasoned in that area, somebody in the environment. And somebody said, it rotate with other girlfriends. Like, you guys can learn off of one another, right? All right, so thank you for helping me in that area. Now let's look at, let me pose a different question. We've looked at teaching me how to cook. Now let's say, what if I were not a believer and I didn't know what it was like to live the life of a believer? What suggestions would you give me to be able to understand and grow in the area of living the life of a Christian? Okay, so let me go through the list of things that we went through, and you guys are going to help me to interpret that in the life of a believer. Okay, so somebody said, read about it, read a cookbook. What would that look like if I were learning to be a believer? Read my Bible. Okay, and there's other books, right, that are biblically sound about the life of believers. So read my Bible. Somebody said there was TV shows. So what would that be the equivalent of? Christian radio, Christian TV, absolutely, because if you're living the life of a new believer, but you continue to expose yourself to what you knew, like, you're not refreshing yourself, you're not purifying your thoughts. So you want to immerse yourself culturally by the things you see and that you hear. You want to immerse yourself in spiritual truth, right? So radio and TV. Okay. And TV, Christian. All right. The next one said, somebody said, just do it. Just do it. What does that mean? Have you heard those people who say, I'm not ready yet, right? I'm not ready yet. I don't have nobody to cook for, right? Just do it, right? Stop thinking about it. Stop rationalizing it. Stop trying to make yourself good enough. Just jump in, get your feet wet, and just do it, right? So that one just translates as it is. Just do it. Somebody said magazines, make it attractive. What would that look like? Daily bread, make it attractive, daily bread. Maybe that's your morning devotion. That's how you start your day, right? Jesus time. Mm-hmm. Your quiet time. So prepare yourself, inspire yourself, because that's what we were talking about. Make it visually appearing. Inspire yourself at the beginning of the day. Daily devotion. All right, the next one says, dinner party. What does that look like? Fellowship. Do you know how important that is to a new believer? We don't know how to live a Christian life until you see somebody else do it for you. And the Bible says that if we walk in the light, if we live in the light, right, we fellowship with one another, right? That is so important because we grow in the joy of the Lord amongst other believers, and because we hold each other accountable, because we correct each other's thoughts, right? And that's so important when you're a young believer. So definitely dinner parties, having friends over, people who are like-minded, right, with the same vision for God's kingdom. So important for a new believer, fellowship. All right, the next one is teach me. Have an expert, my mom, have somebody who is a great cook come and teach me. What would that look like for a new believer? Breaking it down? Breaking it down. Amen. So a new believer would find somebody else who knows those steps. Somebody else like who? Yes. An elder in the church? A mentor? A teacher? A spiritual leader? Our pastors? Women who are more seasoned than we are? Men who are more seasoned? Somebody who has walk the walk and talk the talk and loved it, right? So find those people, surround yourself, ask to be discipled, right? So definitely find experts, right? And then the other one, interesting, get three other girlfriends and rotate. How would that translate? Yeah, like a Bible study? Yeah, Bible study. You know, when you said that, I was thinking that too. It's like even like when we're in ministry, we get burned out, right? Immerse yourself in ministry. Just do it. That's going to give us the joy of the Lord. But we help each other even in that, right? We support one another. When you're weak, I'm going to be strong. When you're tired, I'm going to step it up. When I'm tired, you're going to step it up. So take turns, right? Make sure that you have that system, that support system that's godly, right? All right. So the Bible says, how does a person learn to be a Christian? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Psalms 119:9. All right. That is an example of an object lesson. Who's going to the next Pampered Chef party and think about me learning how to cook? But most importantly, you can relate that to learning how to be a Christian, right? Yes. Excuse me? I need to want that. I need to want that. Absolutely. Thank you. All right, guys. So let's jump into creating. I just want to give you guys some thoughts that you should consider as you're developing your own object lessons. It looks like I'm running out of time. I have 10 minutes. I'm going to go through these really quickly because I also want to give you guys the experience of tying some biblical truths to everyday objects. Think about and observe the objects and things that surround you. You will begin to find stories with morals. Take any household object in your house and describe how it is used. Does it relate to a value or a moral that you would like your students to understand? Think of an area in your life where you are an expert. Maybe with animals, maybe it's in the kitchen, with computers, or even in the garden. Think about things that you do every day and think about ways that it can be symbolic of something larger in life. Take the week's memory verse and pray about it. How can you break it down and relate it to a child's understanding? Is there an object in your environment that would help explain that object, that concept? And I want to also challenge you to stay current in the culture of the kids in your classroom, because there can be a disconnect and you're not relatable. So try and ask them. Ask them to be your teachers. What video games are you playing? What music are you listening to? Take an hour during the week and just look at children's TV shows. You may or may not agree with it, but it's real to them, and that's what's capturing their interest. And as a matter of fact, I used to work with teenagers doing counseling. And like music is such a strong influence. And people usually just follow the rhythm and everyone's dancing to it. But if you break down the lyrics, you can get to a person's heart. And you can even challenge a person to consider, this is what you're singing and this is what you're dancing to. Does this represent you? Do you want this to represent you? And how does that, is that consistent with your word, right? So don't close down doors. We have to stay relevant and look at it critically for the love of the kids, right? Other things to keep in mind. Keep the punchline to the very end and build the suspense if you can. Make sure you draw the connections between the object and the idea, because if you guys go home and all you can think is Pampered Chef, and you can't relate it to the biblical concept that I shared, then I didn't do my job. Okay, so you're going to have to make sure that the kids are drawing the connection to the theme and the biblical concept. The power of an object lesson is in its simplicity. One of the quickest ways to ruin an object lesson is to try to make it more than it is. Make just one truth visible to your student, and that's enough. And I brought you guys a bag of objects. We could have just taken one or two, right? And it would have been more simple. I have an audience that's more sophisticated, but you have to also think of the age range of your kid, your times, and so forth, okay? There are some possible disadvantages to object lessons. They may actually obscure the truth rather than clarify and simplify. So if it's something that's too complicated, your kid is going to go like, what? What in the world is she saying about this? And how does that broom is different than that one? And their mental attention is focused on trying to understand the object and the actual truth that you're trying to bring. Small objects, consider this, don't work well with large groups. So if you have a large group, a large room, you want to make sure that it's visible to them. And there is a danger that students may become more interested in the object than the lesson that is being presented. Okay? So I'm running out of time, but I want you guys to help me out. Consider this. How many of you guys have survived the flu of 2015? It was horrible, wasn't it? This is like a strain like no other. I actually came down with it a few weeks ago, and I hope I'm immune for the rest of my life. I value PTO time, so if I'm sick, I'm still at the office because I want to take my vacation. But I actually took several days off. I'm trying to recover, and I wasn't even all that well. So having said that, since it's relevant, this is something that's going on, I want to share with you guys some objects, and we're going to put some truth maybe behind it. Hopefully we can work on it together, okay? So I brought you guys my arsenal against the flu. Are you guys ready? When I started to get that tickle in my throat, I was desperate because it felt different, and I knew it wasn't a good sign. What are the things that people tell you to do when you start getting that tickle? I don't even have it in my house. I was desperate this time. I went to get vitamin C. Other things that people tell you to do, they start throwing emergency at you. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm like, thanks. I never take that stuff. But people swear by it, that if you take it on time, if you hear that tickle, then you fortify your body. But it has to be right in the beginning, right? And the same thing is true with this. How many of you guys have heard of Zicam? I guess it has zinc, and zinc is supposed to help your immune system some way. So if you're smart and savvy and timely, you're going to fight the beginning of that flu before it's into the full-blown flu. Guess what, guys? That didn't work. So I resorted to Jumbo. I had another two at home, okay? I didn't just do the NyQuil. I had to do the DayQuil, NyQuil, super dose size, and I was knocked out, and I'm still not recovering, okay? But this is some of my stuff that I used, and I didn't really know, but I was desperate. I was miserable, and I'm going to confess that I had the flu, and I actually left work. It was bad. I went home, and I thought to myself, how am I going to take this body to that bedroom? Like, I didn't know how I was going to, like, make it. My parents came over to take care of me, and I, somewhere along the way, became a three-year-old child. Because people had straws in my mouth, you know, feeding me with the spoon. Because I couldn't do anything by myself. I don't know if it was my mentality or I was really bad. Let's go with I was really that bad, okay? Pain reliever. Are you supposed to take, like, multiple medicines? Because this is what I did. It was bad. So, I'm alive, okay? And this is important to me. I believe in these. Do you guys know what this is? Humidifier. And they're small and dainty now. So you put a water bottle here, you turn it on, and it's a humidifier. You get these like $20 like at CVS. And I had it in my room because it helps with the coughing. It helps clear things. So this I believe in. Like all that other stuff, maybe not, but this I believe in. Okay, so I have my humidifier. I went through 4 boxes. How does one body produce so much stuff for 4 boxes of Kleenex? It was bad. It's horrible, okay? So I went through 4 boxes of Kleenex and important stuff. And because we're counting calories, sugar-free, right? All right. And then I can't even believe I purchased this, but I did it. There is a period in your life where you have to be medicated because you're a child and they force this, and then you're smarter than that, and then you revert because this was my purchase. Child people sticking this in crevices in your bodies where things shouldn't be stuck in. But there I was, sticking stuff in my body. Yeah, Guys, things got worse. I'm going to show you the last object that I brought. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you know, you guys will understand how bad it was. I went to the doctor, and the doctors are like, okay, well, let's do this for 3 days, and if not, you get an antibiotics. Some of you guys will not know what this is. You guys ready? Instrument of torture. No, yeah. I did not know what this was, nor did I have a desire of knowing what this was until quarantine 2015 hit. Let me explain this to you if you don't know what this is. I don't know who invented this. So this is a saline solution. You have to use water to fill this pot in. It has to be bottled water, boiled water. It can be tap water, and it has to be room temperature. You put the saline solution in here. You open your mouth. And you pour it into one nostril, and I don't know where it goes in there because it takes a while. You're like, and you feel like you're drowning, and eventually it comes out the other nostril. Thank you. There I was. Who invents things like that? It works. It works, but I'm never getting sick again. I'm never getting sick again, so... Let me know if my neti pot is your neti pot, guys. All right, guys. So I brought an arsenal of objects that we can use. It's relevant. It's current. Help me to try a biblical truth next to this. Any thoughts?
Excellent job.
I'm alive and I'm well now with an occasional cough. All right. So anybody have any thoughts on any of these objects? Yes. Levels. Oh, okay. So there was an escalation. You go NyQuil. You go industrial size NyQuil. Neti pot. You know what? Don't be judging. One day you're gonna own a neti pot. Anybody else? Pray without ceasing. Yeah. That we have to take care, right? We have to be vigilant. Anybody else? Yes. Right. I had to want to get better, right? Yeah. Yes. I relied on my parents. Yeah, at the end of the day, somebody had to lift a straw to my mouth, right? Yes. Thank you. Tell me a little bit more about that. Okay, right, that there is something, that there's hope, yeah.
And I would say that's certainly from some of the trials that we've had, but it's like trials that we've had, and, you know, clinicians probably come out of it, and certainly have
Here we go. Absolutely, like vitamins. Thank you. Absolutely. So let me tell you guys some themes that I thought of and that you guys share. That sin is an illness, right? And the medicine is a word. Find rest in Jesus, right? Another thought, Jesus is our medicine. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, so you guys did an object lesson. We are out of time. Very briefly, just a few more objects. I was walking around my house earlier this week, and I was thinking object lessons, and this is some things that are current that came up. What is this? An umbrella. And I thought, what about an object lesson on preparing for the weather? Okay, so obviously we have an umbrella. Somebody who loved me knitted a scarf. I don't know who it was anymore. An umbrella, and definitely I want to take care of myself in the water, so I want to take care of my dew. Okay? You're going to take care of your dew. It might as well be in pink and cute, right? So what would we relate to this? Covers our sins. Protects us from our sins. Some of the themes that I thought, because I'm out of time, is protection, water, what can be symbolized by that? The weapons we fight. And then I thought too, like the armor of faith, right? And it might not be as relevant to kids. I mean, they can understand a soldier, but they're not living the life of a soldier, that it could be getting ready for the weather as well. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. 5 minutes? Oh, yeah, I have 5 minutes. 6:11. Sounds good. Some considerations. Let me take off my hat so you guys can respect me a little bit. Some considerations. Remember that it's a Holy Spirit, not your object lesson, that instructs and changes the students, okay? Submit it prayerfully, okay? Don't just bring it in without having prayed about it. You don't know what's going to be introduced into your class today. Be sensitive to the Spirit, because some kids may need something else during that day, or they're going to interpret it differently, and you want the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth that's sensitive to them. Never use a visual aid because you are caught short. It doesn't replace your preparation. It doesn't replace your Bible lessons. It should enhance it, okay? They must work for you, not instead of you, okay? And remember that they are a means to an end, not an end in themselves. There has to be a biblical truth behind them, okay? The last slide are some resources that I've used where I found some Bible lessons, some object lessons. But remember, you can do this on your own. It's helpful to have something that references it, but you can do it with any household item. You just got to be prayerful and think about it. One of my favorite ones is Kidology.org. Actually, the speaker of the author of Kidology.org will actually be at the Children's Ministry Conference at Calvary Chapel South Bay. So if you've picked one of those up, you guys are welcome to attend, and he's actually going to be our plenary speaker. Okay? So I offer this just as some thought. Always receive what you think is adaptable to you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Thank you, guys. I'm out of time.